You're hiring?
Well, they were standing out with the sign.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Happy Easter.
You too.
Let's all pray before we start. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for letting us get together today in your name. We pray you bless the services today here and bless Brother Wade there in Mobile, Alabama. We pray that you'll bless all the little bride around the world, Lord. And just reveal your word to us, give us understanding of you. And thank you for this day, Lord, that you raised 2,000 years ago, Lord. Thank you for dying for our sins. Thank you for all the blessings you've given us. Most of all, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for revelation of your word. And again, just be with Brother Wade, Sister June, all those in Alabama, and giving the tribe of mercies back, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have y'all's Bibles, turn to Luke 24.
You going to put it up there?
Oh. I'm a little old-fashioned. I'm half and half.
Okay.
Half old-fashioned and half technological. Well, y'all can just listen if you don't have it. I'm just going to read Matthew 24, verses 1 to 35. This is, I'm sorry, Luke. Luke 24, 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, they bowed down their faces to the earth. And they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. This is Luke 24:7, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Verse 13, And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass, while they communed together, and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And they said unto, and he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass here in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been him, been he, which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said. But him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded them in the scriptures the things concerning himself. Okay, we'll stop there. All right. This. Make sure I'm staying in there. Okay. Today I'm going to give you all the objective right up front. The objective today is to see that a daily choice to seek God is not optional, but critical for spiritual growth.
Amen.
And I wanted to say, too, I enjoyed Brother Wade's sermon this past Sunday because when he asked me to teach Sunday school, Sunday morning, last week, I prayed and said, Lord, what would you have me to teach? And by the end of the service, it was very clear to me what I needed to teach on. It's laid very heavy on my heart this week. And Brother Wade preached a little bit in the second service about his new birth, his journey, very clear, the journey of justification, sanctification, baptism in the Holy Ghost. And I've been dwelling on my experience throughout this week. And I may or may not tie some of that into this lesson, but the point is, I think we need to think a lot about that and consider that. But he tied it in beautifully with that sixth seal sermon. So, the title today is Choosing Christ. Okay, and this lesson, I know automatically by the title of it, a lot of you might think, well, that's for babes. Ryan's going to teach a lesson to young ones just coming in or something. But this is really for everybody, every stage of your spiritual growth. Whether you're in the headstone or whether you just started in your journey, this applies to everybody. It's not just for new Christians. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the reason it's so heavy on my heart is I've seen this for a long time, but more here lately, I've seen that people are seem to be thinking about Christianity, about the new birth, or whatever you want to call it, as like a one-time thing, like it's an event that transpired rather than a process. I think of it as a process. But there was a time in my life, especially as a Baptist, when I thought it was more like an event. I got saved, past tense, it's done, it's over with. Now I'm going on to other things. And that was kind of my mentality. I think that's a lot of people's mentality about the new birth now in the message. Well, I got born again. And now I'm here. I'm waiting on everybody else. You know, and that shouldn't be our attitude. So what I'm talking about in this lesson is choosing Christ over and over again as a daily journey. At the start of your day, all throughout the day. All the different ways that you seek God. Whether you, when you get up in the morning, the first thing you do, hit the floor and pray for a little while. And that's choosing Christ. And then maybe you go read your Bible for a few minutes, and that's choosing Christ. And then while you're on your way to work, you meditate on these things, the things that have been preached, the things you read. That's choosing Christ. And then at work, you think about Him throughout the day. Maybe you pray without ceasing. You have a prayerful attitude. That's choosing Christ. On through your whole day, all up till you go to bed at night, you think about the Lord. You pray, you read, meditate, you study, you think on these things. Sing songs of worship and praise. When I drive at night, I kind of have my own little church service. I'll listen to sermons until I get sleepy. Start getting sleepy, I turn on gospel music and have and sort of invite the Holy Spirit into my truck as a way of praise and worship because He inhabits the praise of His people. So that's my way of saying, Lord, now come in the cab and reveal yourself to me. And then I start into meditation and start thinking on these things. And you would think that put me to sleep, but that actually wakes me up a lot. Our adversary greatly desires to stop us from seeking God. Yes. Satan realizes that Christians gain great strength from daily prayer, Bible reading, meditation, fellowship, and assembling with other believers, and all other aspects of the Christian life. He is powerless against the revealed Word of God. Therefore, he tries to hinder us from receiving revelation. Tactics of the enemy. So, I've been thinking about a guy I work with is a Hispanic. He's a Catholic. And he made a comment to me one time. He said, when you die, you're going to heaven or hell. I said, heaven? He said, well, are you sure? I got to think about it later on. And he believes in purgatory because he's a Catholic. I don't understand fully, but I think what they believe is basically that no matter how you live, you die and go to hell for a time to pay for your sins. Is that basically the gist of it? I don't see a trend. Okay, so I don't know, but that's my understanding of purgatory. If I was taught that and I believed that, I'd live a pretty sloppy life. I wouldn't care about sanctification. I wouldn't worry about reading the Bible or going to church. Because I got to go to hell anyway when I die. So what does it matter what kind of life you live? And it kind of...
How do you just stay there a little while and then go to...
I think that's what they teach. If it's not, then I'm totally wrong. Forget I said it. But I think that's my understanding of purgatory, is that they go there for a while, pay for their sins, and they come back out. But anyway, if that's what he believes, it's no wonder why he lives just like all the other sinners that I work with that aren't even Christians. He cusses like crazy and tells nasty jokes and all that kind of thing. No concern about a Christian life or anything. But yet there are some Catholics who are really sincere and do read the Bible and do go to Mass and all those things. So it doesn't, not everybody, it's just the devil's tactic. He's trying to stop people from seeking God. And the Baptists, I wasn't directly taught once saved, always saved, but it was kind of a generally understood concept. When you get saved, no matter what you do the rest of your life, you're going to go to heaven. And so I've seen many people in the Baptist church when I was there that would get saved and then go out and live like the devil, never come to church, never read the Bible, never pray. And somehow, magically, they're going to just go to heaven when they die. And I don't understand that, but it's what the devil teaches people to stop them from seeking God. Okay? So why seek God if I pray the prayer of salvation? I'm saved no matter what I do. And then, but yeah, as a Baptist, I did read and pray. I read my Bible and I prayed, but I didn't think it was a necessity. I did it more like because I just wanted to know more about God. So there are some people that are sincere in the Baptist church, but there are a lot of them that, because of that concept, they don't seek God. All right. Number three, seed doctrine. It's one of many in the message that we've heard of, and it's very common. It's very common. More often, I think more places believe that than not. But why seek God if I came with a seed in me? This is the doctrine I'm talking about, that you come with a seed in you of eternal life by your natural birth that laid there dormant, and then with a word across your path, it just came to life. And that's it. You're done. You're all set. Devil says, you're okay. Sit down. Or don't even come to church at all. Doesn't matter. You're okay. Why seek God if I came with a seed in me? I'm either predestined to eternal life, or I'm not predestined to eternal life. What does it matter about what I do? Whether I seek God or not. That's the concept. Tactics of the enemy. These and many other false doctrines are used by Satan to try to stop us from seeking God. Satan knows that God promises to reward those that seek Him. He rewards them with revelation, which Satan is powerless against. Okay, and a lot of people in the message, it seems like to them the new birth is like when they got born again, all of a sudden they're in the headstone, and there's no growth process even talked about or even thought of. And it's just like, I got born again, I'm okay. I'm in the headstone, I'm ready for the rapture. Right? It doesn't work like that. Matthew 16, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Okay, that's the scripture I was referring to in the last slide. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the revealed word of God. That's what we want. He does not want us to have it. And He is fervently trying to keep us from coming to that in any way. I'm just showing you some of his tactics, but he's trying to stop us from finding that. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I'll read this scripture in another slide because it's coming up again. Revelation 3, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. And Mark 13, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. I think that's the one Brother Wade quotes a lot. But there's an enduring and there's an overcoming, and not just a sitting and waiting on something to happen. That's not what we're seeing in Scripture. So we must overcome Laodicea. We have to overcome what I call busyness, not a business establishment. Busyness, as in we're also busy. That's one thing I have to overcome. And I don't say put down things and don't do anything. Just put God first. Give Him a tithe of your time right off the top, start of the day, or as quick as you can in your day. The first opportunity, read the Bible and pray. And do that every day. And then go do your flower beds or your, you know, work or whatever else you have to do. Because we all have things to do. That's overcoming false doctrine, overcoming our own ideas against the Word, and our own ideas that we're okay, that we don't need to seek God. Those are things, he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. And about the overcoming. John 5:39, search the Scripture, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Now, I put this little note. Jesus is speaking to the Jews, a group of people very studied in the Word. So see, he's talking to these people who have studied a lot. I'm talking about studying a lot, but, you know, seek God for revelation. They had a lot of the understanding of the letter, okay, but not the revelation with it. and a lot of man's ideas and theology mixed in with it. Mm-hmm. We must not only study the letter of the word, but carefully, prayerfully, let it be mixed with faith, believing God and trusting Him to quicken it to us. Okay, so our part, study and pray, let's make ourselves available. His part is to reveal it. Okay, we can't reveal it to ourselves, I'm not saying that, but we have to get into the Word. Hebrews 4, 1, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. That was the Jews. If you go back in the previous chapter, he was talking about the Jews. I put that in there, and somehow it got left out. Anyway, them, the Jews, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. I want to pause for just a second. Let me see if I can fix this. What happened is I never got the internet to connect, so I'm having to go on one of these that I recently... It's like my backup version. I never could get the internet to connect, so... There's a few things left out of here, so that's alright. We'll do our best. Okay. Modern events make clear by prophecy. It's got to be the unleavened bread of God, the Word of God, the unadulterated Word of God, which man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Okay, now here in this church, we've heard the unadulterated Word for many years. Unadulterated means not mixed with false doctrine and man's ideas. And Brother Dale has always fought against the false doctrines. All of our other ministers preaching against the false doctrines and bringing a straight line of the truth. So we have an opportunity, a great opportunity, to see the truth and take a body change and a rapture and see the resurrection, all those things. But and we don't have an excuse. Okay, but that's what it takes, is the unadulterated Word of God. But we still have to study and commit to read, listening to the things. One thing me and Gabby like to do is go back and download those the quotes, the sermon notes that all the ministers use with their sermon. Those are up on the internet. Y'all can download those and go back and read those notes between services. After each service, go back and read those notes, and it helps you stay more in tune with what's being preached. Let's see. All right. 70th week of Daniel. Let's get one. And I think if Daniel reading the prophets before him and had this kind of an understanding, that he was near the end and sought God to find out how close the end was, then I think we're justified by seeing that we're at the end of the road now. Put on not sackcloth and ashes, but throw off the things of the world and our cares of this life and seek God to find out what day of the year we're in, because we see we're at the end, and so that the church will fast and pray and be ready. Okay. And the statue of perfect man. This is the thing that I'm interested in, the kingdom of God. Whether I maintain my home, whether I maintain my family, whether I maintain whatever it is, let me maintain Christ, our hope of glory. Okay. Well, okay, I might eventually have to just get on the internet because... Wait. Yeah. This might be all out of whack. Can y'all let me pause for a minute? Think amongst yourselves. I'm pretty sure something's gonna be left out. Just do this.
I was gonna ask you to tether
to mine. Huh? Yeah, I'm gonna tether to mine. That's a good idea. It says connected, but it's just showing it's really weak. So, pretty sure I'm going to miss something if I don't put that on there. Oh, yeah. Hotspot. That's it. I don't do this very often, so. Y'all think so quiet. See, I left out my highlights.
I'm telling
what else was missing, so. Sorry about that. Now, let me look at Daniel. All right. I don't remember if I read this one yet, but all right, modern myths. Did I read that one? Do y'all remember? Okay. I already read that. Yeah, for sure. All right. I can't remember exactly. And I read 7 weeks of Daniel. Fast and pray. Yeah, we read that. Alright, I don't remember if I read this. Let's pick up there. Okay. Hebrews 3. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. You say, well, Brother Ryan, I haven't hardened my heart. I believe. And I'm thinking if you don't go on and pray and study and seek God, that could be a form of hardening your heart. Because if you have a hard heart, God can't deal with you. If you've cut off all these channels, then how can you come in? See, he wants to infiltrate into your being in some way, and I like to open up all the ways I possibly can. Like, Lord, I'm reading my Bible. Lord, I'm praying. Lord, I'm studying. I'm seeking you. I'm going to church, reading the Bible, and listening to sermons and all these different ways, trying to leave as many channels open for God to come into as possible. So, I'm not doing this to make fun of anybody, okay? I don't know who that guy is. Just found a picture on the internet.
Is that you?
It just says me. Alright. So I'm trying to paint a picture in y'all's mind of what's happening here, or what I believe is happening. This is kind of overemphasized for effect. Okay? Because I don't think anybody here is doing this. I'm just saying, dear Lord, I'm just desperate for more of you. I want you to take control of my life as I surrender everything to you. If this is how you are, and this is how you're just kind of real lax and laid back and Laodicean and staying up on all the modern events and everything and your news and social media or whatever your thing is that's distracting you. I have my things that distract me, and just everybody has some little things that kind of get in their way. Shun those things. And I'm not saying don't do them. I'm just saying put Christ first. Choose Christ first. But if you approach God like that, I'm pretty sure he won't hear what you're saying, because he's not convinced. You know, if you're not really convinced, you won't be concerned. If he's not convinced that you're convinced, if you're laid back like that and saying, you know, in other words, you never fast, you never study, you never pray, then God's going to be like, are you sure you're really desperate here?
Yeah.
And pictures are worth 1,000 words. Mm-hmm. Pictures speak for themselves. Okay. So, let's see. So making yourself available too, I want to make that point, it doesn't mean to just say, Lord, here I am. Making yourself available is more like, a lot of times action is more than words. You know, you make yourself available by studying and seeking God. Now, here's another example. I don't have to really go and read that. Y'all know the instance here. This is the Pharisee and the publican. Jesus talked about them in Luke 18, verse 9. basically the Pharisee and the publican went to the temple to pray. The Pharisee said, Lord, I fast so many times in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. And he said, I'm not like this publican, you know. And the publican wouldn't even lift up his head, but he held his head down, smote upon his breast, and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. So which of them two went down to their house justified? And Jesus said, obviously the publican. Well, that should be our attitude. This is not the way we approach God. With, Lord, I'm in the message. I've been here so many years. I've read all these tapes, and I've read all the books, and I've listened to all the tapes. And instead, we should be like him, the humble approach. If Brother Dale says to read Christ the Mystery, and you've read it 80 times, read it 81. You know what I mean? Because now there's something coming forth, that there's light coming forth that maybe was darkness to you before. But if you go and do like he says and read that for the 80th or 81st time, you might get something you didn't get the last time. You will, actually. I believe you will, without a doubt. Because the Word of God is eternal. It just keeps unfolding. And you can read the same one sermon 100 times and get something new every time. John 15, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. His word can only abide in you after it's been quickened. Otherwise, it can just be a good thought in your mind, and you can be talked out of it. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. This is good versus perfect. What I'm talking about is the words, good versus perfect. Okay, the words, good versus perfect. Then, when God starts something, it is pure. Nothing wrong with it. But it still requires growth or maturing. For example, babies start life with all they need. They just need growth. Seeds planted in the earth have all they need. They just need growth. New believers come to God for salvation. Likewise, they need growth. Acts 19, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? So there's a believing, there's a start, there's a justification or salvation, as we'll call it, but then there's also a sanctification. Go on, keep going. And then there's a sanctification, a cleansing, and set aside for service. Then there's a filling of the Holy Ghost. But there's more, there's a refilling, and there's a continual unfolding of more of God from revelation to revelation. Never stop. Never stop. Never stop seeking God. So believing is the start, not the end of our journey. James 1, for every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. This is the Strong's Concordance. Good means upright or agreeable. So it doesn't mean perfect or complete. You're not in the headstone when you start at the beginning of your journey. It's a good gift. It's from God. Okay, but you're not complete yet. But you're agreeable, which means you're going to continue saying amen to the word. You're going to continue moving on. Every time God moves you up higher, you say amen, Lord, and you keep on moving up a little bit higher. He moves you on into sanctification. You say amen. You keep on going. You're still agreeing. You're not stopping with justification, and you're not stopping with sanctification. You're going to keep going. And then every perfect gift, Strong says, finished, complete, or full grown. That's also from God. And one doesn't do away with the other. They're both from God. The beginning and the end of your journey is all from God. But He's going to keep moving you forward as long as you'll allow Him to. Hebrews 12, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author, and Strong says, originator, like the starter, and then finisher of our faith. And finisher means perfecter. So he originates it, and then he finishes it, completes it. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Alright. The inner veil, Brother Banner said, and that's what the Christian does when you're planted in Christ Jesus. Everything that you have need of and earth's journey is in you when you receive the Holy Spirit. The only thing you have to do is drink, and push out. Just drink till you can't drink no more. If you have need of divine healing, go to God's Word and drink from it until you push out. If you need more of God, just keep drinking, pushing out. And Christ is the inexhaustible fountain of life, and if you're planted in Him, the only thing you have to do is drink of His goodness, push out what you're going to need of in this earth's journey. It's all drinking, resting, peace. It's not what you struggle and strive and pull at. You defeat the very purpose of God when you're representing when you do that. So I'm not saying try to figure it out. I'm not sure. Maybe Brother Branham, when he said you can study too much, he might have been meaning like trying to figure things out, because that would be studying too much. But I don't think, as far as reading the Bible every day and listening to message every day, I don't think that's studying too much. And that, to me, is drinking. Drinking of the fountain. I want to talk about human behavior. Humans are creatures of habit. We form good and bad habits throughout our lives. The bad habits come easy, but how do we form good habits? Reading the Bible and the message is an example of a good habit, but naturally we struggle to do this on a regular basis. Romans 7:19, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." Okay, that's Paul saying, you know, in other words, I want to do good, but I do it not. I want to read the message in the Bible, but I do it not. Mm-hmm. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Mm-hmm. Matthew 26, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Okay, now I'm going to talk a little bit about the human will. So, still under the topic of human behavior. But human will is strong. God gave us free choice, which is a powerful thing. In that, we can choose to serve Him or not. We can choose to read His Word or not. We can choose to override our fleshly carnal will as well. And the old saying goes, where there's a will, there's a way. So what things can motivate us to stop our bad habits and form good habits? These are just two ideas. I mean, we know about Revelation, but this is just one of my ideas. I don't know, I'm just throwing it in there. Just saying, naturally speaking, not even talking about the Bible for a moment. I'm just talking about natural things of life. Sometimes a behavior change can be the result of new information or a major event in life that a person experiences. For example, I was an idiot with handling money when Gabby and I got married. I was going deep into debt and trying to dig a deeper hole. My sister told me, and my mom told me about Dave Ramsey. New information, I changed my course. I quit going in the way I was going, just like everybody else, going deeper into debt, and I started making better choices. It was a habit change because of new information. Okay, when I was 15 in the Baptist church, when I was 14, I started wanting to read the Bible just because I wanted to know more about God, and just because I thought I'm being a hypocrite because I don't know what the Bible says, and I'm claiming to be a Christian. I didn't think it was necessary, but I thought I should do it, maybe. So I started reading the Bible. I could never get it done. I would read maybe twice a week. I found out by the time I was 15 that it takes a resolve, a determination. If you're going to read it every day, you have to come to a resolve. And just something kind of clicked with me. I said, if I don't make time for God, I'll never find time for God. But it's just kind of a click. I wouldn't call it necessarily revelation. It's just more like a information or realization, a realization that it won't happen if you don't make it happen. Okay, so those are examples of what I came to as just on the natural side of things. Then a revelation, when a child of God receives a revelation of the Word, often the result is a change in behavior. Usually the more the Word is revealed to a person, the more he or she increases in fervency and the desire to seek God more. Okay, the prophet Elijah, I'm going to skip on down. Then we wonder sometimes, well, I wonder why I can't have no more blessings. You don't watch, you let down your prayer life. You say, well, I'm a Christian. Well, that's the more sign you should pray more than ever. Read the Bible every day. Pray every day. Don't make any decisions too harshly or too quickly without first considering God about it. Being born again. Now, this is from our pastor from back in September 19th last year. Being born again, and Brother Lekinus was the subtitle. So in the spiritual children, you've got to eat the Word of God, study the Word of God, you know, pray and seek God and ask Him to reveal these things to you, instead of just saying, oh, I believe that. Let it be a part of you, and if you have the new birth, you will desire, right? Is that what we read? You'll desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby, because, see, that will be a part of your life. Why wouldn't you want to grow in Christ? Why would that not be your desire to want to know more about God? And this is Brother Bob, a couple months before that, last year. This is July 4th, last year. You know, that's such a strange thing for many people to grab a hold of, that the opening of the Word is going to take us out of here. I was talking to somebody about that recently, and they began to say, well, do you mean to tell me that... Sounds almost like you're saying that it's a knowledge, that you're just accumulating knowledge. No, but what it is, see, God, this kind of knowledge can't come just from studying, like you're in a school setting or whatever. But this kind of knowledge is when that block drops into the slot. This is a Bob phrase. I don't understand exactly, but he's saying the word, you know, is quickened and becomes revelation. Right? Drops to your heart. All right? Block drops into the slot, and it begins to change your life. And so that's what the experience that I'm talking about. How can you even approach to explain something like that unless you've lived it, unless you've gone through it? It seems fantastical. That's a Brother Bob word. It seems fantastical to imagine that believing God's word will produce Him inside of you, that's to allow Him to tabernacle Himself inside your members, that He would use your hands and use your feet, and that you could yield yourself by just accumulating yourself the word, by studying it and reading it, and that would allow God to tabernacle Himself inside of you. But yet it's true. I believe it. And time, redemption. We're almost out of time, so we're going to talk about redeeming time. Ephesians 5, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, or what the word of God is. It's time to understand. It's the revelations here, and it's all available to us. It's just time for us to get into it. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns. I highlight that because that's the word. But also hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Being yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And this is just a few verses later. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And how can you be washed by the water of the word unless you're staying in it? Time redeemer. This is the definition of a time redeemer. One who redeems time. Duh. We are living in a very fast-paced age where we can stay so busy that there is no time for anything. Therefore, we must make time for God. We will not simply find time for Him. Time redemption. This is still the same topic. Brother Banner and Gabriel's instructions to Daniel. How can we spend wasteless time gambling, swimming hole on Sundays, no time for the Lord? Okay, so basically, I know we don't go to pool halls and swimming pools and gambling here, but other things that we let get in our way. Deuteronomy 4:29, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, and thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and all thy soul. Colossians 1. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature that is under heaven, whereby Paul made a minister. Wherefore we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest any time shall let them slip. And basically, disobedience will recompense. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Y'all are familiar with these. And then Philippians 1, let's skip down to the end. That he which hath begun a good work will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Do we have any questions?
Thank you.
Okay, y'all go upstairs. Thank you all.